Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen, take part, and learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now with some basic thoughts, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we had a wonderful broadcast, and we were talking about spiritual warfare and specifically how Satan tries to keep us under the old covenant. Jesus Christ died, and when he died, he fulfilled the old covenant, but even more important, he ushered in a new covenant. So that cross of Jesus Christ, as I describe it, is a place of change, a change from the old to the new. So as believers today, we live in the new covenant, a covenant that went into effect not at Christ's birth, but at Christ's death, so the end of his life. That's when it was ratified. That was when it was made effective. But a part of that discussion is this. What constitutes the law? So what part of the law did Jesus fulfill? And when the writers of the New Testament, Paul specifically, when they say that we are no longer under the law, what exactly does that mean? And so I thought we would take a few minutes here at the beginning of today's broadcast and basically have a round table discussion about that. And so I'm going to throw that out, Andrew, to you and Richard and Bob, and let's talk about what exactly the New Testament writers mean when they say we're no longer under the law. First question in that, does that law include the Ten Commandments?
Well, of course it does. I mean, you look at 2 Corinthians 3:7, and we're told that there's something that was written on stone, and it's a ministry of death. There's something that was written on stone, and it's a ministry of condemnation. Well, which part of the law was written on stone? The Ten Commandments. Again, you look at Romans 7. You see Paul says, apart from law, sin is dead. Well, what kind of law does he have in focus in Romans 7? Thou shalt not covet is what he has in focus. Where does thou shalt not covet come from? It's one of the Ten Commandments. And he's saying, apart from the Ten Commandments, sin is dead. So we've been duped. I mean, if we think that the Ten Commandments are the key to godly living, we've been duped. And the enemy has pulled the veil over our eyes. The reality is, when everything is uncloaked, it's simple. Jesus for salvation, Jesus for heaven, and Jesus for daily living.
Total, isn't it? It's all Jesus from start to finish. Well, there's this idea that, you know, Jesus died and took away the ceremonial law, but the moral law, the Ten Commandments, are still in effect. And Richard, I know that was a big issue for you.
Yeah.
And that's how you sifted through that and the interpretation you had for many years. What changed that for you?
Abject failure changed that for me. I absolutely believed that the letter to the Hebrews, for example, was a re-explanation of the Mosaic Covenant. Don't ask me how I got there. I don't remember. Thank God he erased my mind. But when you take away the ceremonial law from the old covenant, now all you have is the condemnation and no way out. The two had to go together. There had to be the condemnation contained in the thou shalt nots, because obviously we do in spite of that. And so there had to be the sacrificial system. And so Jesus, who represented all of that sacrificial system, could not have solved or fulfilled the sacrificial system without him fulfilling the ten. So he fulfilled the whole thing. That's what finally got me thinking about this, because, you know, it was clear to me that if you know, all he talked about was, you know, killing animals, if that's the only thing he solved for us, then how was I supposed to avoid all the bad things? Because I wasn't doing a very good job at it. And in my background, of course, we said the ceremonial law was gone, but we managed to keep little bits and pieces of it, like, you know, what kind of food you should eat and, you know, all the rest of it. And so you find out when you're picking and choosing like that, that all you can be is inconsistent. And for me, always being a between the lines kind of guy, perfectionist by nature, just slightly OCD, CDO for those of you who know.
Just slightly.
all that could bring was depression and failure, because I could never measure up, not even to my standards, let alone to God's.
And, you know, Bob, you know, on the dovetailing with that, I just think if folks are going to say, you know, we're free from the ceremonial law, but we still need the moral law, we're saying, okay, I'll take Jesus for his blood, but not his life. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'll take his sacrifice, sure. But as far as him being enough for daily living, no thanks. I'll go back to the moral law to stay moral. Well, so
does that say about us? When we think that we can keep the moral law, what does that say about us? I mean, it basically, we are making a statement that we're okay. We just make a few mistakes here and there.
But the blood will cover it.
Right. But we're basically good people, and we have what it takes to live up to those Ten Commandments. But that's never been the case, and it never will be the case. The Ten Commandments condemn us, they judge us, they doom us. That's just all that the commandments do. That's the language those Ten Commandments speak, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you say, hello, what is the fruit of the Spirit for here? I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is morality. The fruit of the Spirit is God's flavor of morality and excellence, and it's ethics, and it's far superior to anything that the law could ever produce. So it's like we're rewriting our Bibles in a way. I mean, we're saying, oh, yeah, dead to the law for salvation. Yeah, dead to the, you know, free from the law for salvation, not under the law for salvation, but, and then we pull out our butt there and we say, but for daily living, it's a whole different ball game. And we're rewriting the Bible when we do that.
Yes, yeah. We are. And one of the things, the passage that you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I just want to encourage our listeners to go to that particular chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and actually read chapters 3, 4, and 5, because that is one singular message about the new covenant and its outworkings in our day-to-day living. But Andrew, the passage that you read says that the law kills, so we know that the law, those commandments engraved on letters of stone, is a ministry of death. So whenever we put ourselves back under the law, what's the law going to speak to us now? What's it going to say to us now?
Death.
The exact same thing that it said to us before we knew Christ. It's always going to judge. It's always going to condemn. Why? Because we can never live up to it. That's why we need Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah, but it seems like we're just trying to, you know, trim this thing down, Bob. It's like you'll hear, okay, I'm not under 613 laws, but maybe I'm under 10. Oh, wait, not the Sabbath. Maybe I'm under 9. And so we end up with 9 moral laws, and we're fashioning this safety net out of 9 laws. And it's like the Apostle Paul and God himself is saying, cut through that net, cut through the safety net of law, and just walk this tightrope of grace. And strangely enough, you actually will find your balance in Jesus Christ and in him alone. But, you know, we're all into fashioning our nets and making sure there's no chaos in our lives. And it's ironic because the law, under the law, we're actually stirring up more sin.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Andrew. The accusation, of course, is that if we take away the Big Ten, then we're giving people license to do anything they want to do. And that's a complete repudiation of what the Bible teaches. We are here to point people to Jesus Christ and to walk by faith in the grace that he pours out on us all the time. And Titus 2 is one of my favorite passages, you know, starting in verse 11. The grace of God has appeared. I mean, Jesus appeared. He went back to heaven. the Holy Spirit comes. Now that's grace personified living in us, and it's that grace who instructs us how to deny ungodliness. The law could never do that. Only the Spirit can.
Well, great discussion, guys, but I want to invite our listeners to come in and be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377. We'd love to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to add to this particular part of the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. If you have some other issue you'd like to bring to the table, why, we'd love to discuss that with you as well. Again, 800-677-9377. That's the number. Time on the clock. Plenty of open lines. 800-677-9377.
And also, as a follow-up to our discussion, much of what we've talked about, Andrew has written down in his book, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War. This is one of the ways that Satan tries to keep us from experiencing the abundant life that we have in Christ, and that's by trying to keep us under the law. And so Andrew talks about that. We want you to have this resource. It's a valuable resource. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. All the information on how to contribute is online at basicgospel.net.
We're in the last 3 days of this particular offer, so we truly hope that you'll take advantage of it again, friends. Basicgospel.net, you'll find a prominent link on the homepage, or you can call and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours. That number is 800-727-2828.
Let's go to Bloomfield, New Jersey, and talk to Navarre, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Navarre.
Hey, hello, yes. God bless you.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
My question is, why do we need the Ten Commandments? Why do we need it? Why do we need it?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question, Navarre.
Yeah, it is, Bob. It seems like you and I and all of us at Basic Gospel, we've just, focused our ministry around this idea that Jesus is enough. And you say, so why the law then? Well, the law is for the unbeliever to drive them to Jesus. The law is for the unbeliever to show them, the dirt on the face of humanity, but it really doesn't clean anyone. And it's Jesus who cleans us, and he's enough for daily living. So it's like, it seems like we're at the buffet line and we're trying to pick out a few laws, and James, the Apostle James, is saying, no, it's an all or nothing curse here. If you're under the curse of the law, you're under all of it. If you keep the whole law and you stumble in one point, you're guilty of all of it. So you can't stand at the buffet line of law and pick and choose. You're making yourself into God when you do that. You are not God. God is God, and we are not. So the law is designed to kill, to condemn, to convict, and then point us right to Jesus, isn't it, Bob?
Absolutely. And one of my favorite passages is in 1 Timothy, and Paul is sharing his story. And I think his story really answers that question for you. And he says this, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The law is what tells us that we are sinners. And when we agree with what the law is saying about us, then we can receive the salvation that Jesus is offering us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So there's so many people out there who don't truly believe that they're sinners. So this offer of life that Jesus has on the table for them means nothing to them, because why do I need to be saved? Why do I need salvation? And that's a good question. And I know Jesus even said himself that I didn't come into this world to call the righteous, but to call the sinners to salvation. So that's what the law does. It helps identify our need apart from Christ Jesus. Well, let's go to Patty in Carmichael, California, listening to us on KFIA. Hi, Patty.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. My question has to do with Mark 1:10. And in most of the Bibles I have at home, and I have the old ones up to new ones, it says the heavens were opened and God came down in the form of a dove. In the New International Version, it says the heavens were torn open. And some people are teaching in a Bible study class that I'm going to that this was a turbulent thing, not, you know, that they were torn open as opposed to, say, the heavens opened. And I just want to know what the actual translation was. Was it just that they were opened, or were they torn and ripped open?
Well, actually, Richard has just done some recent study on that. So,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah, the word that's used there really does mean to tear open. But,
oh, it does.
Yeah, but don't think of it in terms of ripping the fabric of the universe to pieces and so that this dove can come down. It's more like God invaded our time out of eternity and into time so that he could indicate his pleasure with his son. And so it wasn't a destructive thing, not right. In the sense of, say, the second coming and all of that, where the heavens and the earth will flee from before him. This was just eternity invading time, and the best way that Mark could think to say it is that it's like God, you know, tore open the curtain and reached in and said, "This is my son."
Right. Okay. Well, I just wanted to get what the proper translation of that was, because my friend and I were having an argument about it, and I said, "Well, I'm going to call and find out what it actually is." You know?
Yeah. So it does say torn open, but don't think of it as violent.
Exactly. Well, yeah. That's kind of what they're teaching her in this class. And I said, I don't think it was a violent thing, you know, but I'm going to call and find out.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate your time, and God bless you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
yeah,
I enjoy listening to you every day.
Great.
Well, great.
You know, Richard, yeah, that's a great question. Richard, the other thing I noticed about this is it actually just says Jesus saw the heavens being torn open. So Jesus is the one who saw it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe other people saw it, but it could have been a special revelation or a vision that Jesus himself had.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Patty, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate that question. That's an excellent question. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you some information about the ministry, okay? You hang on.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Patty. Well, let's go to Paul listening to us in Brooklyn. Hi, Paul. Paul, are you on the line?
Apparently not.
We'll put him on hold, and we'll try Don in the Bronx. Hi, Don.
Hey, brothers. I'm calling to give a Jewish believer's perspective on the law. We know that the law was given as commandments from God to Moses in the Old Testament to Israel, and only to Israel. Mm-hmm. So this talk about we are under the law, if you're a Gentile, you were never under the law to begin with.
Well, you're right.
That's the elephant in the room that nobody yes. ever addresses. Yeah.
You're Gentiles, right about that, Don, but we're all under the universal law of the soul who sins will surely die.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But the Gentiles sin without law, and Jews sin under law.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not under law if we are Gentiles. Of course, as Christians, Jews are the ones who have come out of law into grace. Gentiles don't come out of law, but they too are in grace, under grace. But the law only pertains to Jews, and every Jew living today who is not in Christ, doesn't receive the Messiah as their Lord and Savior, is still under the law. The law was not ended for the Jews, and they are going to have to give an account why they didn't follow the law of Moses, which, of course, nobody can. But Gentiles were never under the law to begin with, and that's really my point.
Well, Don, thanks for sharing that. And I think that is a key point, that Mosaic covenant was specifically between God and the people of Israel. And what we would say here, Don, is that it does have a spiritual purpose, and that's to show us our condition apart from Christ. It was never meant for Gentiles to follow, to have as the principles that govern our daily lives.
Exactly.
But God did impart a spiritual purpose for that, and it's much like an X-ray machine or a mirror that simply points out our need for Christ so that we can see what our condition is and our need for Jesus as Savior. So, Don, thanks for jumping on with us.
Yeah,
we
good
appreciate
stuff.
It.
Can I add one little thing?
Certainly.
Yeah, I just want to, if I don't have time, I wanted to read... To substantiate this point, Exodus chapter 31, and I would hope everyone would read this. Exodus chapter 31, speaks about the Sabbath, verse 12 through verse 17. And it repeats again and again when the Lord says to Moses, I'm giving this Sabbath to Israel. It's for Israel. The people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. It's a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, et cetera, et cetera. So,
well,
I mean,
say
like,
something,
I run into all these Seventh-day Adventists, all Gentiles, who keep talking about they got to keep the Sabbath. It was never even given to the Gentiles.
You're not going to get any argument out of this group. I think we're all on the same page. We agree 100% the law was given to the Jew, not the Gentile. In Romans chapter 2, verse 15, it says that Gentiles have the requirements of the law written on their conscience, written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing or possibly defending them. So basically, we're all saying the same thing here, Don. And you know, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you're under condemnation of some kind. It could be Moses staring you in the face, or it just could be your conscience that's killing you. But either way, you need Jesus. And I think that's the whole
Amen.
Point.
Well, Don, thanks so much for your great call today. We sure appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you for your great program. God bless you guys.
You hang on. Well, let's go to Paul in Brooklyn. Hi, Paul.
Hi, sir. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Nice to hear from you today.
Great. Excellent. You got to do an awesome job there. Thank you very much. My question today is, there's a passage, I'm not quite sure where it's located, but it's in the New Testament, where Jesus actually healed a certain man, and he told him to go make a sacrifice and take it to the priest, and don't tell anyone on the way. Just go make a sacrifice and go take it to the priest. So I was wondering, now you're talking about certain laws and certain sacrifices. If Jesus is telling him to...
Well, Paul, let me jump in right there because we just have a few, a couple of minutes before the program ends. But I think this is an excellent question. We were just studying that recently as we're going through the book of Mark and a Bible study here. And Jesus cleanses some lepers. And he tells them to go and show themselves to the priests and to encourage the priests to make the sacrifices that the law prescribed in that event, in that circumstance. And he said, don't tell anyone. Well, what he was doing there was basically drawing attention to himself by making the statement that he cleansed these lepers. And in doing so, he was stating and declaring that he was the Messiah, the ones that these priests were looking for. So he was under the law. He was born under the law, as Paul wrote in Galatians. He lived out the law. He kept every requirement. That's why he would have told those lepers to go and do what they did. But in doing so, he was pointing the finger back to himself and saying, I am the long-awaited Messiah. Well, Paul, we're out of time. We sure appreciate your call today.
Thanks for joining us, everybody, for this edition of Basic Gospel. You know, every weekday we are here on the air showing how the Basic Gospel constantly intersects with your life. But it's you who make it possible for us to be on the air on your station by your prayers and your financial support. And to show our appreciation for standing with us with a gift of any amount, we have a copy of Andrew's book called Operation Screwtape for you. Now, we're in the final 3 days of this particular offer, including today, by the way. So make the call or go online as soon as you can and make your gift and request your copy. The number, 800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Operation Screwtape, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To review each day's broadcast, get on the email list, and you can do that by clicking subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. It's there in the upper menu, and you'll get an email each day with a link to the most recent broadcast. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if you feel that this particular program is beneficial to you, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelrdo, and be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. You know, many Basic Gospel resources are available to aid your understanding of the Christian life, and you can find them when you visit store.basicgospel.net. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis saying, God bless you and join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.